Marshall, please call the final case on our calendar this morning.
Now calling A240141, Susan Patricia Evans versus Aaron Lee Couch.
This is our, good morning. This is our final case scheduled for oral argument on our calendar here today. And I believe we only have counsel for appellant arguing. We do not have counsel for respondent. So that being said, there will be 15 minutes for appellant's argument. And feel free to get settled there. The podium moves up and down. And there is a clock on that center podium that will count your time down as well. At the beginning of your argument, please introduce yourself and identify your client. Let us know if there's a particular pronunciation or way we should be referring to you. And with that, you may begin when you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honors. Good morning, and may it please the court today. The court, this is an appeal from a harassment restraining order. Admittedly, it was a case that was tried by two pro se parties, so if you read the transcript, it's kind of a mess, but you know, it's not how lawyers would examine or cross-examine folks. But I don't think that matters as to whether or not this harassment restraining order should be vacated and the decision of the district court reversed. The court may wonder why I'm here and why there was an appeal. I will just tell the court that my client, I'm Stephen Harris for the appellant, Aaron Couch. My client is very concerned about his reputation. And wants to guard his reputation vigorously. So the accusations in the petition for a harassment restraining order greatly upset him, and there was testimony at trial as to how much it upset him. Just as a foundation, there are a lot of pages of phone records that have been submitted. And I want the court to understand, I don't know that the court needs to go through all the phone records. Based on the trial court's findings, I'm not sure that the trial court went through the phone records or carefully scrutinized them. But here are the important things. Phone numbers ending in 1488. That's my client, Mr. Aaron Couch. Phone numbers ending in 3295. That's Ms. Evans. She was the petitioner, and she would be the respondent on the appeal. Phone number ending in 6141, that is the alleged harasser's phone number. That's the offending party's phone number, which at trial, basically, Ms. Evans asserted that 6141 was my client's phone number without much evidence beyond that. There wasn't forensic evidence, there wasn't expert testimony, there wasn't searching for IP addresses, and my client vehemently denied it.
It seemed as though there was an ongoing conversation on number 6141.
Yes.
And there seemed to be some familiarity, according to the record, between these parties, which apparently the district court credited the testimony of the respondent here,
yes,
as being between these two parties. How do we overcome that?
Well, the phone records don't lie, and the respondent on appeal here, it's from the phone records, it's demonstrably proven that the respondent lied to the district court. So for instance,
but here's the problem I'm facing. If there's an ongoing conversation between two parties who seem to know each other, and the respondent testifies that the only that familiarity with the appellant here.
Well, there.
How do we overcome the finding of the district court that that was between the two parties?
Well, for instance, the petition and the respondent at trial testified that my client was trying to sleep with her beginning in April. There was no evidence at the trial court of any communications in April or early May. And in fact, we submitted the phone records for my client and for Ms. Evans that go back to, my client's phone records go from April 4th to July 3rd. Ms. Evans' phone records go from I'm sorry, I don't have the date written down here, so I'm not recalling it. But in any event, there's no, the first communication that we see between the 6141 number and Ms. Evans is on May 29th. So Ms. Evans is testifying this stuff started in April, but there's no evidence that there was any communications either.
Isn't it irrelevant that there's no evidence of the communications beginning in April because there were sufficient communications later in June and July, I believe, to suffice as repeated incidents of contact?
Well, the number one, it's false premise. My client says 6141 is not him. 6141 is either somebody else that Ms. Evans is having some kind of social relationship with, or it's fabricated.
And
but
I understand that he said that, but the district court did not credit that testimony.
Yeah, and I want to lay out as to why Ms. Evans' testimony is false, and I was getting to that. So the district court at the hearing, Exhibit 1 was a copy of some text messages, Your Honor. The district court at the hearing asked Ms. Evans, is this all the messages that you received from the appellant? And she said, yes. You look at the phone records, and that's clearly not the case. Between May 29th, you look at Susan Evans' phone records in Part 5, between May 29th and June 15th, there are hundreds of text messages exchanged between the 6141 number and Ms. Evans. So Ms. Evans' testimony is provably false. Also, the district court later on, towards the end of Ms. Evans' testimony, this is at the trial transcript, page 13, the trial court asked Ms. Evans about any other interactions that she wanted to share with the court, and she said there were none or no. So the only thing, what Ms. Evans told the district court was what you see in Exhibit 1, which is not laid out real well, but appears to be basically text messages from June 14th or June 15th or both days. She said that's all the communications. When clearly you look at the phone records, there were hundreds of communications starting, not in April, not in early May, but May 29th to June 15th.
And keep
in mind,
isn't it within the province of the district court to resolve conflicting testimony? That would be an example of conflicting testimony.
The phone records don't lie. She said Exhibit 1 was all the communications. It's not. We know that provably from the phone records. So, you know, what's on the piece of paper, what's illustrated in the phone record shows there was some kind of relationship. And if you look at Exhibit 1, it's either June 14th or June 15th of 2023. It's not clear to me in terms of how it's laid out. But Ms. Evans' testimony was that Exhibit 1 is June 14th, June 15th, or a few days before, and that the texts are in order in Exhibit 1. So it's on June 14th or 15th, one of those 2 days, that Ms. Evans actually tests, you know, you want to come see me, I'm at the lake, I'm in my swimsuit, he. So on June 14th or 15th, Ms. Evans is sending to the 6141 number, which is not my client, a suggestive, flirtatious message, however you want to characterize it, but certainly not a message that indicates that she's being substantially adversely affected by her texting relationship with the 6141 number.
Let's talk about Exhibit 1. It does seem that it contains information that pretty clearly identifies that Couch, your client, is in fact the sender. There were statements in there such as, my brother will be picking up my niece at the sheriff's office today at 5:30 p.m., so on and so forth. I'm on my way to Alex to meet with Alan and his attorney at 4. So on and so forth. It seems pretty clear that given the relationship between the parties that he is the uncle of her daughter.
Yeah, he's...
That the sender of the 6141 number text is in fact Mr. Couch.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with you, Your Honor. There, and I can't explain that other than we know that the respondent in this case was not truthful with the trial court about her interactions with the 6141 number. And it would be speculation as to why that was the case. There was also testimony at the trial court from my client's stepbrother, Mr. Sanderson, that in a prior family law matter that Ms. Evans had made up fabricated text messages.
Here's the problem. The district court found that Evans' demeanor was focused, humble, and candid, and the court found her credible. The district court found Couch's demeanor was arrogant and self-serving during and not credible.
Well, I don't know how you can find Evans credible when she clearly lied.
We're not finding anything.
But I know that.
What we're dealing with is that.
I know that. Well, the district court also found, Your Honor, that the phone records supported Evans when they didn't, because Evans testified Exhibit 1 is all the communications. Evans also testified at the end of her testimony when the district court, is there any other interactions you want to tell me about? And she said no. So Exhibit 1 is not all of the communications. When Evans said they were all the communications, that's clearly not the case. There were hundreds of text messages. On June 3rd alone,
that there are parts of the testimony that you believe are demonstrably false. However,
yes,
it is within the province of the district court to credit some parts of testimony and not credit others. And so what are we to do with that given our standard of review?
Well, yeah, I mean, the phone records don't lie on that. Ms. Evans clearly lied on that issue. So it's a fundamental issue. We also know that the district court really didn't evaluate the phone records. The district court made a conclusion the phone records support her testimony, but how? The court obviously didn't carefully review them. The court also seemed to not...
The order, though, does contain specific findings of fact that talk about Exhibit 1 and Exhibit 2. So,
number one, Exhibit 2 is irrelevant, because why the district court even puts that in the order, that is a communication that my client admitted to having with Mr. Evans, not the petitioner, back in January 2023. I don't think the communication was harassing. Mr. Evans testified at trial. He blocked my client after that. And my client openly admitted that this was his communication. Yet the district court sought to impugn my client in its order, suggesting, well, when he produced the phone records, he didn't go back to January 2023. There was no point in going back to January 2023. He admitted the one or two text messages that are in Exhibit 2. What was the point, and why impugn my client in the order? And why impugn my client saying that he is arrogant and self-serving? I don't know what that has to do with credibility. It was clear that the district court did not like my client. That's clear from the order. But that doesn't go to my client's credibility, and certainly doesn't go to Ms. Evans' credibility. For instance, the district court order said, made a finding, petitioner was drunk and disorderly, engaged in inappropriate behavior several months prior to the harassment. That's in the district court order. It's not in the transcript. Where did that come from?
I think that, wasn't that referring to Evans?
It's not in the record, Your Honor. There's no way. Disorder, top to bottom, is a mess. It's, you know, the fact that the order cites evidence that doesn't exist shows what a mess
even if we were to find that that one finding was in fact clear error on the part of the district court, in what way was it, did it affect the outcome? In what way was your client prejudiced by that one factual finding?
This one that I just talked about? I don't know, but I don't know that my client would be prejudiced by that, but such a glaring error in the order only reflects all the other errors that I pointed out in my briefing and here today. And in particular, the fact that Ms. Evans' sworn testimony is clearly not credible because it's directly contradicted by the phone records. And there was
I'm sorry to cut you off. The time is come for the 15 minutes to be up. Did you want to make a closing statement to us?
But the only thing I would point out to the court here is, you know, I'm here today. There's nobody else here today. Certainly, Ms. Evans could have written a letter to the court had she wanted to support things. If you read the transcript, which isn't that long, Ms. Evans was, after the phone records were submitted, and my client did a little one-page summary of the phone records, Ms. Evans was afforded the opportunity by the district court to submit some kind of reply or rebuttal to the submission of the phone records. She didn't take that opportunity. She hasn't participated in this proceeding ever since I filed a notice of appeal, and I think her silence actually speaks volumes. And to me, it's clear if the court reads the order, the court obviously didn't like my client and made findings crediting Ms. Evans when that was not warranted as per the phone records. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. We appreciate your time here today and your argument. The case is submitted. We will take it under advisement, and we will issue an opinion within the statutory time frame. Thank you. And with that, that ends the oral portion of today's calendar, and the court is in recess.
All rise.